Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hi, everyone. My name is Andra Stanoyou, and you're listening to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio and podcast. Our guest today is an intimacy expert and tantra teacher extraordinaire. From navigating the cultural taboos of Soviet bloc to becoming a renowned tantra teacher, Magda's journey is nothing short of inspiring. After discovering tantra for self-healing, she made it her mission to empower others, blending tantra teachings with social psychology to reignite sensuality and intimacy. With over a decade of experience, Magda has helped countless individuals unlock deeper connections and fulfillment in their relationships. So let's dive into our conversation with Magda K today. Hi, Magda. How are you?
Hi, Andra. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very, very excited about this conversation.
I'm also very excited in understanding how you can help us get to those deeper connections and get this fulfillment level that we all crave so much. So Magda, tell us about your personal journey and what led you to become an intimacy expert and tantra teacher.
You know, I always start by saying that it's definitely not something that I wanted to do when I was growing up. I thought I was going to go into marketing or musicals. That was my dream. But instead, what happened is, Sandra, I come from a household that unfortunately didn't demonstrate healthy love. And so I grew up extremely cynical about love. And honestly, when I saw couples together holding hands, I either thought that it was fake or it was just lame. And so I stayed away from love. I stayed away from relationships. And my first relationship was when I was only 27. Now, as it usually happens with our first love, we think it's going to last forever, and it doesn't. And so it didn't in my case. And it really hit me. And it brought to the surface all of the challenges that I had around opening my heart, opening my body, opening to another human being, and actually knowing how to create intimacy and this deep, honest connection. And I was in pieces after this breakup. It was honestly a very, very difficult time of my life. So I was desperately looking for some solution and healing. We're talking over a decade ago. So at that time, it wasn't as available to maybe find meditation or yoga, you know, breath work and all of these other forms of healing that now are way more available. There's way more modalities that people can experiment with. Back then it was all very new. And so I had heard the word Tantra. I didn't really know what it was, but I knew I wanted it because I knew that this is something you want to explore if you want more love and intimacy in life. And so slowly, slowly, I started hearing about a teacher, this ashram in India, this school, and I started embarking on this journey for my own healing. I wanted to open myself up because I knew that all of the old traumas and fears and pains that were blocking me and causing me pain. So it was, you could say it was selfish. It was all about me. But then the more healing I was receiving, the more I was opening up, I started to understand how much our Western society lacks information, knowledge, skills, practices that would actually allow us to have healthy relationships. And so at that time, I was doing some life coaching and business consultation. And the conversation about relationships and intimacy was naturally coming into my space. People were asking, you know, all of these questions because they could see my transformation. And so over time, my work switched and pivoted specifically into this topic. So, like I said, it was all for me. I needed healing. I wanted a better life. And I, you know, doing this, I realized that this is really my calling and my purpose in life. And so today, this is what I do with my clients.
So did you manage to achieve that in your own life, Magda?
I'll say yes. But one of the things that I also learned on the way is that life isn't linear. And it's not like there's a goal that we reach and then we stay there. It's more of a journey. It's more like a wave. And so what I'm realizing is that life will be pulling us in different directions. And at some points, maybe you need to focus on your physical health. Other times, maybe you need to focus more on money or your work. And other times, you can focus more on your intimacy and love and relationships. So what I have learned, for me, the biggest achievement in it all, is that I have the tools so that if life pulls me in a different direction, I know how not to lose all of the intimacy that I have, even if I have very little time for it. And I also know how to get back to this. So it's still a wave. So I won't say that at any given point in my life, my intimacy is 100% where I want it to be, but I know how to shift it. I know how to react and I know how to keep me at the level where my needs are always taken care of. Maybe not all of them, but I think this is life. You know, I think we often chase this perfection. We think there is this space where we're going to solve all of our problems and everything is going to be exactly the way we want, but that's just not life. And I think, in my opinion, it's actually more useful and more important to know how to navigate life when it's not supporting you with your goals, when it doesn't give you time. So I'll just share with you personally, a few months ago, I had a very difficult time in my life because my mom had an accident and she required constant care. So I was staying with my parents and assisting my father. Now, on top of this, I was trying to do my work and I had very little time for this. And they're like all of these things piling up. And I just thought, I have no love life. Like, there's no way that I can have any space or capacity to even accommodate love. But it doesn't mean that my intimate life disappeared because I still knew how to take care of those needs for connection and being, you know, in my body, feeling my emotions. So for me, the biggest success is that having these tools so I can always take care of myself.
I think you are correct. It's about normalizing this idea of intimacy, of happiness, of love, and understanding that it's not possible to have 100% all the time, constantly. I think actually will be quite boring and challenging to some extent, isn't it, to be at this extreme level at all times. And I think the point you made on resources is really essential for anyone that's struggling with any sort of problems, understanding that identifying inner resources is probably the most important change we can do in our lives, and making sure that we have in our back pocket this accumulation of resources that we collect from the connections with others, from our previous experiences, but also from, you know, people like you, from books, from all the information that's available out there. You mentioned two words that I really want to explore further, because in order for us to discuss about intimacy and Tantra teachings, I think we need to understand what intimacy is from your perspective. And then, of course, what Tantra is from your perspective. How would you define these two concepts? I know there are two questions in one, Magda, but take me as I am.
No, they're actually really good. When I'll give you my definition, you'll see that it's actually perfect. You're asking about both of them in the same question. So I think the problem with the word intimacy is that we automatically assume about the things that happen in the bedroom. And for so many generations, this has been such a big taboo. So we think that when someone says intimacy, it immediately goes in that direction. And this is not true, because intimacy, it's a much broader spectrum. So in fact, it doesn't even have to do with the love relationship. You don't have to be in a relationship to have intimacy. And every human being has the need for intimacy. So first of all, it's a fundamental need. And we have some studies which are a little bit ethically questionable, you could say, but that they have shown us a few very important things. So we have one study which was done on baby monkeys, and they had these robot mothers. And one mother was made of metal, and then she was covered with a blanket. And then there was another fake mother, and she was made of metal, and she had bananas. And the baby monkeys would actually choose the comfort of the blanket over food, which shows you how important touch is. And again, when we think about touch, we think again about the bedroom, what happens there. But we have to desexualize touch. Touch is just something we all need. We need to hug, we need to embrace and caress each other, just like animals do, just like we do with kids, with friends. It needs to be understood as a human need, as a general human need. And that experiment shows that. And there is another experiment which was done for something different. They were meant to study language development in children. And what they did is that they had kids of different ages. And by the way, no one would do any experiment of that kind today. It was just very, very wrong. But what they saw is that when they have children, like really small kids, and they put them through a really harsh experience of having no connection with other humans, no one would talk to them, so there's no physical contact either, these kids simply would not make it. And so this horrible experiment shows us that the need for connection, to be touched, to be vulnerable, to have this intimate emotional connection with someone, we actually need it to survive. Without it, we're just not going to make it. So intimacy, it's a much, much broader concept. And the way I like to define it is that intimacy for me is the depth of experience of being alive. So how alive do you feel? How much can you feel life through everything? For me, that is intimacy. And now what Tantra is, through my definition, is just the art of being intimate with life. So for me, Tantra, and again, it's a very broad spectrum, and a lot of people associate it, for example, with open relationships and some crazy things. But Tantra originally is a spiritual path that's very similar to yoga. And the way I define Tantra, the way I work with these tools, is that for me, Tantra, it's about deepening that sense of intimacy in your life. So as you can see, for me, they're very, very connected.
Well, actually, when you were presenting the ideas behind this experiment and the findings of this experiment, it made me recall an experiment that I read quite a long time ago. I don't remember exactly the details, but there was the question around what keeps people in a good mental and physical health, and what kind of prolongs life. And this study that was done across probably, if I recall correctly, 3 decades, has shown that actually the sense of community and the relationships and the partnerships were the number one factors that maintain these levels of well-being. And it wasn't, you know, sexual relationships. It wasn't work. It wasn't anything else. But the connection with people, right, through the community, through the relationships. And I guess this kind of falls quite nicely into what you said in terms of the touch. And if you are to think retrospectively, when we are born, the first 2 years are essential for any child's upbringing, and the relationship with our mothers are defining all the relationships in our lives. So if you have a mother that's that blanket, as you mentioned in your experiment, then the chances for you to develop into an adult who has functional relationships, who has relationships that values the individual, and there's not a transaction like it usually happens or very often happens in relationships. You know, one has more to offer than the other one, and here's the conflict. So definitely some really interesting perspectives you brought here regarding the intimacy and tantra. And to be fair, you know, I wasn't seeing necessarily tantra as a spiritual practice. So thank you very much for changing my perspective. I'm sure I'm not the only one who lived with this misconception.
Andra, if I may add, I think it is also important to understand that. So we have the saying, it's called the pizza effect. I heard this term somewhere. So basically the idea of the pizza effect is we had beautiful, delicious Italian pizza, and then it was taken by the mass market, and it was, well, turned into the modern pizza, fast food, very unhealthy, but it was made very commercial and available for everyone. And we see the same happen with yoga. Yoga is a very deep spiritual practice, but then it became popular, the masses took it, and they changed it. They made it very commercial, so now everyone practices yoga, but actually what they practice is not actually yoga, because yoga, it's a very deep spiritual meditative practice. It's a very specific lifestyle. And so it's the same with tantra. It's because in tantra, we do have sexual practices. We welcome sexual energy, at least in some parts of that. A lot of people just took that. And again, they turn tantra into, like I said, people often think about like some sexual play and open relationships, and they think that this is tantra, and this is what many people do, and many people practice this. So I always tell people, you know, I'm sharing with you a broader understanding of what tantra actually is, and what it actually is a spiritual practice, and I'm giving you my perspective. But if anyone is interested in exploring this, be mindful that there's going to be a lot of tantra online that is exactly what you think it is. So just be mindful. Do the, you know, research, check the teachers, make sure that it is what you actually want and what you feel comfortable with.
Anka, what inspired you to start the School of Intimacy?
Oh, well, I'll tell you this. I don't know about you, but I got practically zero education when it comes to relationships. And I think that relationship that I mentioned before, that first relationship that I got into, I honestly made stupid mistakes. In fact, you know, a lot of connections that I've had, when I look back at them now, with the understanding that I have now, I'm thinking like, gosh, well, no wonder it ended. No wonder we argued so much, because I was absolutely clueless. I made so many mistakes. And to be fair, this is life. And part of moving through life and growing up is a learning. Like that always will be there. But I feel like there's a lot of mistakes that we make that we really don't have to be making. And I see this, and you know, honestly, I see this until today with my parents, and it breaks my heart. But when I see how they talk to each other, it's simply horrible. So I so often see people attack each other and hurt each other. They don't know better. They just don't know any better, because they don't have the understanding and they don't have the tools. And so, you know, our educational system, it's a machine. It works a certain way. And I don't think I individually have the capacity to change this. And of course, we're talking about a very sensitive topic. Of course, there is a lot of aspects here that are taboo and people don't feel comfortable discussing. Like this is a tricky area. So instead, I decided what I can do is start my own academy and offer people the knowledge, the skills, and techniques to actually equip them with what they need to be able to form good relationships with other people, with themselves, welcome more intimacy, and of course, enjoy better sexuality as well. This whole idea that when it comes to sexuality and relationships, that we just intuitively going to know what to do, or that we're somehow born with those skills, it's ridiculous. I mean, we keep repeating, you know, the stats of 50% divorce rate. I don't know if it's exactly that, but it's enough for anyone. Just look around and see how many divorces and breakups there are around you. It's a massive percentage. So clearly, we're not so good at this. And for me, the crazy thing, Andra, is this. Any other area of our lives, we know that if we want to have better results, we need to learn things. We need to study. We need to invest. We need to practice. Why would our intimate life be any different? So if you want better results, you gotta invest in it. There are things to learn. Like, honestly, once I got into this, I realized we know nothing about intimacy and sexuality, like honestly. And even sexologists, they maybe know about 30, 40, no more than 50% of what the body is actually capable of. So people really need this. Everyone wants intimacy. Everyone wants good relationship. The study that you mentioned, right? Everyone wants to live a long, happy life, but we don't have the tools to do it. So the intention behind the School of Intimacy is exactly this, to have this one place where people can get all the information, all the techniques, all the support. You know, I don't want you to have to go online and search for 1,000 different things, because then you're not going to do it. We know it has to be easy and accessible so you can get everything you need in one place. That was the intention. This is how it was created.
Magda, let's have a short commercial break. And then after the break, I would like us to explore the reasons why people come to you more often. So let's have a short break and we come back to our conversation with Magda K regarding intimacy and Tantra teachings.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook, you know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores. Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
we're back with Magda. We're discussing the School of Intimacy, a project that she started. And my understanding is, Magda, that this is almost like an academy of resources, a collection of resources, of information, and of course, your classes, the sessions with you that people can access and make sure that the information is valid, is solid, is verified, and it's applicable to their needs. So in terms of their needs, what are the most common concerns people have regarding intimacy? I'm very curious about that.
So I work with men and women and couples. And so I have noticed that each of these groups will have some common challenges and questions. So I work a lot with couples who recently became parents. And as you probably know as well, it's a massive transition. And usually it kills intimacy and desire. And it is a massive transformation of the relationship. And without understanding what happens, really couples struggle. So this is where I come in, and I've helped a lot of couples, honestly, on the edge of getting a divorce, rekindle that spark and that passion. And it's almost like falling in love back again. So this is definitely a common, very common challenge that couples have. And so far, I've honestly worked with so many, and I love the results. I think this makes me extremely happy because, see, ultimately, the truth is that the reason why I do my work, like really, really, is for us to have healthy children. Because, you know, I was raised by parents who unfortunately just didn't really know how to love in a healthy way. And I've seen a lot of toxicity just because they're very wounded and they didn't have any tools. So when we have parents who know how to love each other in a healthy way, then the child is healthy. And if the parents don't know how to do it, then the child, unfortunately, experiences a lot of pain and wounds. And like you mentioned before, takes it into the adult life. So I honestly want to spare children unnecessary pain. So that makes me extremely happy to be able to work with couples. Then when it comes to men, I'll tell you, it's really interesting because if I look at the different clients that I've had over, you know, a decade, the common theme really is the certain confusion around being a man and what masculinity is. So, you know, throughout generations, we've all been exposed to different messages of what it means to be a man, of what it means to be masculine. And there's so many changes these days. And I think men really feel confused. So I've worked with a lot of men who felt like they're not masculine enough. For example, I had a client who works in HR and he's a people's person. And he felt that his job makes him feminine. So there is a deep confusion, misunderstanding of what it means to be connected to your masculine energy. So that's definitely a big theme, helping men really discover of what it means to be a man in their reality, of what their unique talents and mission in life is. And this is, again, so rewarding because I love men, I love women, but like I feel there's so many incredible men who feel suppressed or who feel shy and they don't show their full potential. And as women, we really want this. Like, I really want this. So this has been extremely rewarding. And then when it comes to women, I think there's a couple of things that I have seen. And again, I'm curious if maybe this is something you've experienced as well from your end and the guests that you've been speaking to. So I see women becoming very independent and going through an interesting transition, meaning they are very happy on their own. And the world doesn't really know what to do with this. So women are attacked. Women are attacked for being single. Women are attacked for not wanting children. They've been attacked for a long time already for wanting to have a career. And I think this is also a redefinition of what it means to be a woman and what it means to be feminine. So I've also had clients come to me feeling, I'm too masculine. I want to be more feminine. And instead, we actually dive into, well, what is feminine to you? So a lot of it, if I look at, you know, people that I work with, I think they come to me thinking that there is a certain box that they need to fit to be feminine, to be masculine, to be a good woman, be a good man, to be a good partner. Instead, the path is to forget about all of this, forget about what is expected and what you should be. Just forget about any box and connect to yourself. And when you connect to yourself, you're going to find that you don't fit any of these boxes, because everyone, you know, every human being is unique. So there's no box that you can fit. You have to create your own and then source the sense of whether it's masculinity, femininity, whatever you're looking for, but source it from within. So ultimately, it's really about strengthening that connection to self, finding love and acceptance of your unique expression of being a human. And from that place, finding your feminine and masculine energy and playing with polarity and playing with relationships. So I feel like ultimately this is where we arrive with my clients.
Magda, I think you're so right when you were talking about the boxes. And it's interesting that you've experienced the same thing with your clients. So I think there is some sort of imaginary standard almost that we all have about intimacy. And I think to some extent, the film industry, the social media have designed for us this ideal about how life, love life should be, what intimacy is, right? You're seeing these great love stories on the screen where people live in completely unrealistic and unpractical terms, to be fair, where, you know, intimacy is at a level that's very much compared with sexuality, for example, and there's very little emphasis on what exactly intimacy is, in line with your terms, right, which is that need to connect, a deeper connection. So it's this image that has been created for us, and we've accepted it, to be fair. I think we're all guilty to some extent of integrating this in our lives and make it the standard. So I think the confusion, you have one confusion on one side, as you said, about the roles, right? Who am I as a woman? Who am I as a man? But there's also this confusion of terms and what does intimacy mean? And if it means that I see on the screen, what's wrong with me? Why can't I get to that level of connection? So I really, level of intimacy. So I really, really like your perspective on, you know, the emphasis on the quality of connection, almost, and not the ideal image of intimacy as it has been created for us. And you are right, you know, I'm originally from Romania. You grew up in Poland. So these are countries where intimacy was not really on the table. We weren't discussing that, isn't it? And I don't think we were the only countries, to be fair. I think it's a global issue. I see it like this. Because, you know, you might not have our culture, because we have quite similar cultures. But, you know, there are other parts of the world where, you know, intimacy is maybe more discussed, but in a way that's not really serving the individual. So it all depends on where you were born, you know, the variations of those regions. So Magda, you explained to us the intimacy idea and what are the main concerns that your clients come to you with. But when it comes to Tantra and Tantra teachings, do you think your customers really know what they're getting into when they're contacting you? Do they come with misconceptions? Do you have to break those ideas and just like, right, really, it's not the service that you're paying for. It's really something else. So are you breaking those news to them?
Oh, unfortunately.
You do, yeah.
This does happen very often. So, and this is like the other side of my work, because there's so many misconceptions, but also because there's so much suppression. So, you know, especially for men, when they see a woman being so open, like if anyone wants to go to my YouTube channel, it's just Magda K. You'll see, I really talk very, very openly about the whole thing related to sexuality. And so very often when men see a woman so open about this topic, they make assumptions. And so unfortunately, I do get a lot of comments, requests, and I always ask them, I have, application. For example, if someone wants to work with me one-on-one, there's a short application where I ask you, what do you want me to help you with? And it's a form for me to filter exactly what you're saying. Like, what is the intention? Are you aware of what I actually do? And so, unfortunately, it happens that I need to answer that these are not the kind of services that I offer. And quite often, I also need to, in some way, correct them, saying, listen, this is not appropriate what you're saying. Like, the things you're asking me, I'm a stranger. You don't know me. You wouldn't say it to a woman on the street. Please don't say it to me. And so, sometimes we need to remind people that you can be open, but it doesn't mean that you don't have boundaries. And I think because it's such a taboo conversation, like you said before, we have this kind of imposed idea of what sexuality, relationships, and intimacy is. So we don't talk about it enough, and we all make massive assumptions. And so people think that if you're open about this conversation, that you just do anything and everything. And then you sleep around and it's like, no. This is not about this. For me, the empowerment in sexuality and intimacy is about being able to say yes when you want something instead of hiding and pretending because you feel too shy to ask for what you want. But it's also about being able to say no. If there's something that I don't feel comfortable with, I will say no, because especially for women, and I know I'm making a bit of a digression here, but for me, it's a very important conversation. As women, we're so used to just swallowing our no. Like, we feel, I don't want to do it, but I'm just going to keep it to myself and not say it. So my book, No More Faking It, it's all about that, literally, to help women own their yes and their no, because we're masters of just pretending that, yes, it's fine, I'm just going to endure and do it. So for me, the true empowerment in sexuality and intimacy is about really owning our yes and owning our no. So back to your original question, yes, unfortunately, some people are looking for other services, and I need to explain to them that this is not what I offer. But I do honestly find so many people who know exactly what it is. And I'm so happy anytime I see this. Like, when I read an email from someone who wants to work with me, and in the application they say that, they feel like they're in a relationship, but they feel that they're really scared to open their heart for their partner because they got hurt in the previous relationship. And I'm like, yes, this person knows, understands. We can do some magic together. So absolutely.
Magda, you mentioned your book, so I really want to come back to after this short break to discuss your book, right? Because you just dropped the news on the book in the middle of the conversation, and I want to hear more. So let's take a short break, and we'll come back with Magda to discuss her book. And of course, we're continuing the conversation about Tantra, about intimacy.
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We're back with Magda. Magda, you were mentioning your book, and I had a brief look at some of the content of your book, and I saw that you're discussing quite a lot about power centers. So what are power centers? How can they help us get that deeper connection with ourselves? And is their purpose to do that? Because I don't know, maybe you can tell me more.
Totally, yes. So it all starts with what we both already mentioned, and it's the strong connection to self. We are conditioned to respond to the external stimulation. So there is a signal from the outside, and I respond to that signal. Instead, what we really want to be doing is checking in with ourselves and respond from within. So someone might ask you, let's say at work, you know, hey, can you help me with this? And basically, I'm like, oh, well, they need help, so I'm going to say yes. What would be much more supportive is if first I stopped and I checked with myself. Do I want to help right now? Do I have space? Do I have energy? Like, what is myself like thinking about this idea? So we definitely don't go within enough. Meditation, a prayer, all of these are tools and methods to go within. And so the four power centers is a tool that I developed over the years of my life, or I should be more specific, over the many mistakes that I've made in my life. We learned the hard way. It's something I've realized. It's a tool that I wish, to be honest, I don't know why no one teaches this. It should be really taught in school, in my opinion. But it's a way of connecting with that wisdom inside of us, with the answers inside of us, with that sense inside of us that can tell us if it's a yes or a no, if I need to adjust something to feel good and safe in the situation. It's literally about checking in with myself, because who should dictate my life? Myself, not someone outside of me. My body, my emotions, my needs should be deciding about my life, and not my teacher, my boss, or whatever is the societal preference of the time. So, you know, I've had a bit of a crazy life, and I go into details in the book, inside the book, so I'm not gonna do this here, but I've explored different paths, and Tantra being one of them, different forms of spirituality. And what I realized is that we all really love to compete. Like if you, for example, even inside of yoga, you have different schools and each one of them says that we are the right yoga. This is the right meditation style. This is the right approach to fitness. And this is the right approach to nutrition. Everything is this competition. I have the only right system. Instead, what I'm seeing is that each of them have like that they have an element of truth, but instead of competing and separating, you can actually combine those systems. And so the four power centers is really about combining main philosophies about living a good life. Instead of trying to pick one, this is the right one, this is the wrong one, let's bring them together and let's source the best ideas from all of them into one system that is going to work for everyone. And this is where the four power centers come from. So what essentially it is you can imagine that inside of your body, there are four managers or four directors, four experts, and they're all an expert of something. So think of them like a board of director or a company, and each of them has a department and they're really, really good at managing this department. But they're only good at this department. They don't really care about what is happening outside. And so each of these power centers is managing a part of your life, and it's doing it, you know, in a good way, but also in a selfish way, because it doesn't know about other parts in your life. And so essentially, we want to be able to connect to all four. Now, inside of the book, you're going to find a test which will help you to identify which of your four power centers is running the show at the moment, because this is the starting point. I need to know if it's the first, second, third, or fourth, because once I know which one is bossing everyone else around, then I can work with them to balance them. So I don't want to, like, you know, talk for too many minutes. So let me just break this. But I would assume we probably want to discuss what the four power centers are.
Magda, because you mentioned some resources and you mentioned the self-assessment, Do you have in your book any practical tips or exercises that we can look at to enhance our intimacy and the connection with the partners we have?
Yes, absolutely. So let me just quickly first tell you about what these centers are, because I feel it's going to make more sense. I don't want to, like, keep this information away from you guys so you can get a lot of value here. So the four power centers are, and like I said, each of them wants something different. It's a manager of a different part of your life. So we have our head, and your head is like this manager, goal-driven, very logical. And your head is there to support you in achieving your goals. And it's great. We all need to be moving forward. We need a plan to achieve things in life. And my head, you know, for example, the fact that I even wrote this book, a lot of it was my head that helped me move through obstacles and some fears and make sure that I invested money the right way, etc. So that's your head. Now, the second power center is your heart. And what the heart wants is love and connection. Again, very, very important for our life. Then we have our gut, and what the gut is concerned with is your safety and security. And finally, we have our intimate center, the pleasure center, which is all about pleasure and fun. And so these are, you could look at this as the core four needs that every human has. And to live a good life, you gotta be sure that all of them are met and fulfilled. And so what happens, unfortunately, to most people is that we don't listen to them, we don't pay attention, we don't even know we have those power centers. And so one of them steps in and takes over. And so you have people who are totally consumed by pleasure. It's all about pleasure, it's all about fun, but they take no responsibility. This is the fourth power center, the intimate center, taking over. Then you have people, and I've been there for sure myself, that get burnout at work because it's all about work, 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 and the rat race and doing as much as possible and never resting. This is when the head takes over. So that's why I say it's really important for us to be connected to all four. And so, yes, inside the book, you're going to find guided practices to, first of all, learn about your power centers, connect to them and start building a relationship to be able to understand what they want to tell you. And then you have specific practices on how to work with these four power centers, depending on a specific situation in your life. And inside of the book, you have everything expressed, everything explained how to do this, but you also get free resources. So you can get free audio meditations guided by me. So then all you need to do is just put your headphones on, relax, close your eyes, and I guide you through everything. So it's totally effortless. So when you get the book, you get those extra resources as well.
So let's talk about your social media contacts. Where can we find more information about your book? Where can we buy your book?
So the book is called No More Faking It, and it's a bit of a cheeky title because
it is a bit, yeah.
People may think it's like, well, it's actually not just about that. The book is mostly for women. And like I said before, we're just masters of putting a fake smile and pretending everything is fine. So we're so used to faking it because we don't fully own our yes and our no. And so the intention of the book is to change this, is for you to feel 100% comfortable saying yes when it's a yes and saying no when it's a no. So hence the title, No More Faking It. You can find it on Amazon. We have the Kindle version, physical book. We have audiobook as well. And you should find it on practically any local Amazon shop as well. And we have it available in a digital form through other online retailers too. So you should be able to find it wherever you prefer to buy your books. And totally, I would love to connect with you guys on social media. So you can follow me on YouTube. This is Magda Kay. On Instagram, which is Magda Kay Official. And also just head to my website, magdakay.com, where you're going to find all the resources, where you can also get a free audio sample of the book. So it's available there. More free resources, all information about services. You can sign up for the newsletter. So basically, if you just go online and you Google Magda Kay, you're going to find me, or there's one more Magda Kay who's a DJ. I'm not a DJ, so it's going to be easy to realize which one I am. And I'm just happy to connect with you on any platform that you feel most comfortable using.
Magda, thank you so much for your time today. I've learned definitely quite a bit about intimacy, about Tantra. You definitely, changed some of the misconceptions I had. And I'm really grateful you took the time to speak with me today about your book, about your journey. You mentioned a lot the word mistake, and I was about to correct you and say, these are life lessons, right, Magda? They're not mistakes. So.
Well, that's true. That's true, yes. But I will say that, like I said before, I think we do need to stumble and learn. But I think sometimes those lessons don't have to be as painful and as difficult. I think sometimes we make them more difficult than they need to be. So one of the intentions is to help everyone ease this journey a little bit.
And but absolutely, it's going to be a exactly. I completely agree with you. You know, you don't have to go through all these struggles and all the pain to learn something from it. So definitely your book will be a really good starting point. So you don't get to that point where, you know, you make mistake after another. Thank you so much. I wish you best of luck with your new projects and with your book. And if you have any other news for us, anything that you'd like to share with the world regarding your progress in exploring intimacy, please feel free to reach out, and I'll be more than happy to, you know, connect with you and continue the conversation about intimacy.
Thank you so much for having me and for everyone listening. I really appreciate it. You know, I understand that the conversation on this topic, it's not the easiest one, but I think this is how we're starting this whole big shift, is to start talking about this by breaking the taboos and breaking the boxes that we mentioned today. This is how things start to change. So if you want something better in your intimate life, listening to this episode, talking about is exactly how we do it. So I'm really grateful to everyone who's listening.
Take care, Magda.
Thank you.
Until next time, may we hear only good things.